Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Katie Weaver and Mario Ritter Jr. remember famous people that died in 2022. Faith Perlow answers a question about the difference between the words nation and country. Later, we listen to Pigs is Pigs by Ellis Parker Butler. But first,
as 2022 comes to an end, we look back to remember the people the world lost over the year. Several world leaders, past and present, died. Possibly the most recognized was Britain's Queen Elizabeth II. She died September 8th, after 70 years as ruler. Elizabeth helped guide the monarchy through periods of social unrest, war, and economic crises, as well as family scandals. The only monarch known to have served longer than Elizabeth was Louis XIV of France, who died in 1715. Elizabeth's death led to a collective expression of sadness and respect for her leadership. But there was also renewed discussion and criticism of the monarch's part in British colonial rule of many areas around the world during her lifetime. Elizabeth likely met with more world leaders than anyone in history, and her image was among the most reproduced in the world. It can be found on money, mail, and many buildings linked to Britain. Elizabeth was 96 years old. Her rule passed to her son, Charles.
Another famous world leader who died in 2022 was former Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev. His efforts to reform the Soviet Union led to the collapse of communism in Russia and the end of the Cold War competition with the West. After an attempted overthrow, he resigned on December 25, 1991, just as the republics declared independence from the Soviet Union. Gorbachev died on August 30th at the age of 91.
The year also saw the shocking assassination of former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe in July. He was giving a speech at a political campaign event in Japan when a gunman shot and killed him. Abe was Japan's longest-serving prime minister. He was also a much criticized and complex politician. During his years in office, Abe helped pull Japan out of an economic recession. He built strong ties with the United States and wanted to restrain China's growing strength in Asia. However, his goal of rewriting the nation's constitution failed because of weak public support. He was 69.
Among the entertainers who died was actor Sidney Poitier. His work in television and film helped expand the representation of black people in the media. Poitier, who died in January, became the first black actor to win an Academy Award for Best Actor for his part in the 1963 film Lilies of the Field. Queen Elizabeth II honored Poitier with a knighthood in 1974.
Music and film star Olivia Newton-John died in August. The Australian singer sold more than 100 million record albums during her career. From 1973 to 1983, she was among the world's most popular entertainers. She had 14 top 10 singles in the United States alone and won 4 Grammy Awards. Newton-John died of cancer at her home in California. She was 73.
One of the world's most famous film directors died in September. Jean-Luc Godard was 91. He was known as the enfant terrible of the artistic movement known as the French New Wave. Godard revolutionized popular cinema in 1960 with his first full-length movie, Breathless. The world of music lost many, including rapper Coolio, Fleetwood Mac's Christine McVie, country stars Loretta Lynn and Naomi Judd, and jazz great Ramsey Lewis. Along with McVie, rock and roll lost Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins, Depeche Mode keyboardist Andy Fletch Fletcher, Ronnie Spector, often called the first bad girl of rock and roll, and the performer known as Meatloaf.
And finally, the world of sports lost one of its greatest athletes. Brazilian soccer player Pelé died Thursday at the age of 82. Since 2021, he had been receiving treatment for colon cancer. Pelé was one of the most commanding sports figures of the last 100 years. He won a record 3 World Cup soccer championships with Brazil. Pelé was the standard bearer of the beautiful game, a term he helped make popular with the national team and his club, Santos. Late in his career, he helped popularize soccer in North America by joining the New York Cosmos. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr.
Hello. This week on Ask a Teacher, we will answer a question about the difference between nation and country. Hi, VOA Learning English. Could you please help and explain what the difference is in usage between nation and country? Thanks and regards, Siyoung Howell. Hello, Siyoung. This is a great question. Often these words are used as synonyms, but there are differences. Let's look at how we use these words and find some examples to help us understand. Let's start with country. A country is an organized political unit. We often describe countries as states, especially when talking about politics. Joshua Keating, a former editor for the website Foreign Policy, says there are several things that are needed to become a country. A country needs territory or land. Next, people living there must live there permanently. Then the international community must recognize the boundaries or borders of the country. Next, the country must have full sovereignty or the freedom of rule and be recognized by other countries. Finally, a country is ruled by a government or political body. Here are some examples of how to use country in a sentence. There are no countries in Antarctica, but some countries like Chile and New Zealand have claimed areas of it. I have been to several countries in Europe, including Romania, Czechia, Estonia, and Finland. Even though the United States is made up of smaller units called states, they are not sovereign countries and are not internationally recognized as such. California is a state and has the world's fourth largest economy, but it is not a country. We often use country and state as synonyms, especially to differentiate the other meaning of country, as a place outside of a city that has fields, farmland, trees, or villages. Regina enjoys going to the country on the weekends to visit her family's farm in West Virginia. Now, let's move on to nation. Nation has two different meanings. Firstly, a nation can describe the same thing as the word country or state. Our VOA word book describes a nation as a country together with its political and social systems. Let's look at an example. There are 193 nations that make up the international organization called the United Nations. The nation of Argentina recently won the FIFA World Cup. Nation also has another meaning. It is the people of an area who are connected by a common culture or identity. Sometimes a country or state is represented by one nation, called a nation-state. Japan, Finland, and even the United States are considered nation-states. Not all nations of people have their own country or border of their land that is recognized internationally. Examples of nations of people without their own country include the Kurdish people and native or indigenous people like Native Americans. The Kurdish nation lives throughout a region called Kurdistan, which is spread throughout 5 countries. Kurds have a common language and culture. First Nations people are an indigenous nation group in Canada. Please let us know if these explanations and examples have helped you. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow.
Hi, Faith. Welcome back to the show. Can I ask you a question about one of the words on this week's Ask a Teacher? Nation.
Sure. That's a really interesting one.
Can we use it in other ways besides talking about a country or a culture?
Oh, yeah, Dan. In popular culture, we use it to name groups of people, who are fans or enjoy a particular thing. An example is in sports. I went to West Virginia University for college, and our football team is the Mountaineers. We have groups of fans all over the country, and we call them the Mountaineer Nation. In baseball, there's the Red Sox Nation, and nation is even used for TV shows and movies.
Oh, that's like the TV show The Bachelor. The fans of that TV show are called the Bachelor Nation.
Oh, wow, Dan. I didn't take you as a fan of The Bachelor.
Yeah, well, it's a guilty pleasure of mine, Faith. And the 27th season starts soon in January. I really hope the new Bachelor, Zach, is able to find love.
I'm glad you're looking forward to the start of the new year, Dan. Thanks for having me on the show.
Our story today is called Pigs is Pigs. It was written by Ellis Parker Butler. Here is Shep O'Neill with the story.
Mike Flannery, the agent of the Interurban Express Company, leaned over the desk in the company's office in Westcott and shook his fist. Mr. Morehouse, angry and red, stood on the other side of the desk, shaking with fury. The argument had been long and hot. At last, Mr. Morehouse had become speechless. The cause of the trouble lay on the desk between the two men. It was a box with two guinea pigs inside. "Do as you like, then," shouted Flannery. "Pay for them and take them, or don't pay for them and leave them here. Rules are rules, Mr. Morehouse, and Mike Flannery is not going to break them." "But you stupid idiot," shouted Mr. Morehouse, madly shaking a thin book beneath the agent's nose. "Can't you read it here, in your own book of transportation rates? Pets, domestic, Franklin to Westcott, if correctly boxed, 25 cents each." He threw the book on the desk. "What more do you want? Aren't they pets? Aren't they domestic? Aren't they correctly boxed? What?" He turned and walked back and forth rapidly with a furious look on his face. "Pets," he said. "P-E-T-S. 25 cents each. 2 times 25 is 50. Can you understand that? I offer you 50 cents. Flannery reached for the book. He ran his hand through the pages and stopped at page 64. "I don't take 50 cents, he whispered in an unpleasant voice. "Here's the rule for it. When the agent be in any doubt about which two rates should be charged on a shipment, he shall charge the larger. The person receiving the shipment may put in a claim for the overcharge. In this case, Mr. Morehouse, I be in doubt. Pets them animals may be, and domestic they may be, but pigs I'm sure they do be. And my rule says, plain as the nose on your face, pigs, Franklin to Westcott, 30 cents each." Mr. Morehouse shook his head savagely. "Nonsense," he shouted. "Confounded nonsense, I tell you. That rule means common pigs, not guinea pigs." "Pigs is pigs," Flannery said firmly. Mr. Morehouse bit his lip and then flung his arms out wildly. "Very well," he shouted. "You shall hear of this. Your president shall hear of this. It is an outrage. I have offered you 50 cents. You refuse it. Keep the pigs until you are ready to take the 50 cents. But by George, sir, if one hair of those pigs' heads is harmed, I will have the law on you. He turned and walked out, slamming the door. Flannery carefully lifted the box from the desk and put it in a corner. Mr. Morehouse quickly wrote a letter to the president of the Transportation Express Company. The president answered, informing Mr. Morehouse that all claims for overcharge should be sent to the Claims Department. Mr. Morehouse wrote to the Claims Department. 1 week later, he received an answer. The Claims Department said it had discussed the matter with the agent at Westcott. The agent said Mr. Morehouse had refused to accept the 2 guinea pigs shipped to him. Therefore, the department said, Mr. Morehouse had no claim against the company and should write to its tariff department. Mr. Morehouse wrote to the tariff department. He stated his case clearly. The head of the tariff department read Mr. Morehouse's letter. Ha! Guinea pigs, he said. Probably starved to death by this time. He wrote to the agent asking why the shipment was held up. He also wanted to know if the guinea pigs were still in good health. Before answering, Agent Flannery wanted to make sure his report was up to date, so he went to the back of the office and looked into the cage. Good Lord, there were now 8 of them, all well and eating like hippopotamuses. He went back to the office and explained to the head of the tariff department what the rules said about pigs. And as for the condition of the guinea pigs, said Flannery, they were all well. But there were 8 of them now, all good eaters. The head of the tariff department laughed when he read Flannery's letter. He read it again and became serious. By George, he said, Flannery is right. Pigs is pigs. I'll have to get something official on this. He spoke to the president of the company. The president treated the matter lightly. What is the rate on pigs and on pets? He asked. Pigs, 30 cents. Pets, 25, the head of the tariff department answered. Then, of course, guinea pigs are pigs, the president said. Yes, the head of the tariff department agreed. I look at it that way, too. A thing that can come under 2 rates is naturally to be charged at the higher one. But are guinea pigs pigs? Aren't they rabbits? Come to think of it, the president said, I believe they are more like rabbits, sort of halfway between pig and rabbit. I think the question is this. Are guinea pigs of the domestic pig family? I'll ask Professor Gordon. He is an expert about such things. The president wrote to Professor Gordon. Unfortunately, the professor was in South America, collecting zoological samples. His wife forwarded the letter to him. The professor was in the high Andes Mountains. The letter took many months to reach him. In time, the president forgot the guinea pigs. The head of the tariff department forgot them. Mr. Morehouse forgot them. But Agent Flannery did not. the guinea pigs had increased to 32. He asked the head of the traffic department what he should do with them. "Don't sell the pigs," Agent Flannery was told. "They are not your property. Take care of them until the case is settled." The guinea pigs needed more room. Flannery made a large and airy room for them in the back of his office. Some months later, he discovered he now had 160 of them. He was going out of his mind. Not long after this, the president of the express company heard from Professor Gordon. It was a long and scholarly letter. It pointed out that the guinea pig was the Cavia aporia, while the common pig was the genus Sus of the family Suidae. The president then told the head of the traffic department that guinea pigs are not pigs and must be charged only 25 cents as domestic pets. The traffic department informed Agent Flannery that he should take the 160 guinea pigs to Mr. Morehouse and collect 25 cents for each of them. Agent Flannery wired back, "I've got 800 now. Shall I collect for 800 or what? How about the $64 I paid for cabbages to feed them?" Many letters went back and forth. Flannery was crowded into a few feet at the extreme front of the office. The guinea pigs had all the rest of the room. Time kept moving on as the letters continued to go back and forth. Flannery now had 4,064 guinea pigs. He was beginning to lose control of himself. Then he got a telegram from the company that said, "Error in guinea pig bill. Collect for 2 guinea pigs, 50 cents. Flannery ran all the way to Mr. Morehouse's home, but Mr. Morehouse had moved. Flannery searched for him in town, but without success. He returned to the express office and found that 206 guinea pigs had entered the world since he left the office. At last, he got an urgent telegram from the main office. "Send the pigs to the main office of the company at Franklin." Flannery did so. Soon came another telegram. "Stop sending pigs. Warehouse full." But he kept sending them. Agent Flannery finally got free of the guinea pigs. "Rules may be rules," he said, "but so long as Flannery runs this express office, pigs is pets, and cows is pets, and horses is pets, and lions and tigers and Rocky Mountain goats is pets, and the rate on them is 25 cents. Then he looked around and said cheerfully, "Well, anyhow, it is not as bad as it might have been. What if them guinea pigs had been elephants?"
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.